You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchek, and we're here to talk about the Green Bay Packers' 31-24 win over the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Eric, let's just dive right in. Let's go bigger picture first. What's this win mean? What do you think? It puts the Packers at 8-3-1, and what are they? Half a game behind the Bears for first place in the NFC North. They're the sixth out of seven seeds if the playoffs started after this weekend, or at least after today. What do you think? What did this do for them?
Oh, I think that was a huge victory, and I don't know, I don't want to overstate it, but I want to overstate it. A huge victory to go on the road into Detroit on Thanksgiving, and not pull something out of their backside to get out of there with a win and go there and just dominate. You know, I thought that was a really great performance and a much needed victory. It kind of puts them in the driver's seat. You know, the Bears go out and take care of the Eagles, which I guess I was a little surprised by. Looks like the Eagles are in a little bit of a slump, but I mean, the good news is they're going to get their shot at the two more shots at the Bears. And you know, this is a great spot for Green Bay to be at this point in the season.
Yeah, that starts next week. They get that first shot at the Bears at home. I watched just a little bit of that Bears-Eagles game, and the parts that I watched, Chicago ran the ball really well.
Good.
They're better than I would have guessed, at least from the parts that I saw.
That's good to hear that they're running the ball good, because that's right into the Packers' strength. And then it becomes Micah time. So I think it's that's a good thing, and I'm glad to see that, because I think the Packers' run defense is – you know, everybody talks about Micah Parsons, right? But the run defense is really solid.
Is it going to hold up without Devontae Wyatt? He's done for the season now. He's got ligament tears in his ankle, and it's been confirmed he's done for the year. Obviously, that's a hit to their inside pass rush, but it's got to be a hit to their run defense too.
Yeah, I think that's certainly – they're going to have to come up with a little bit there. That I would agree with that. Is it the end of the world? Probably not. You know, it is a couple things. The defense is really fast. So anything off to the perimeter, you know, from B-gap out is that's their strong suit. It's B-gap in where they've had struggles in the past this season. And I'm sure they'll figure it out. What I really like what they're doing now is on running downs is they're sending backers and trying to get backers pushed up and get them running downhill towards the line of scrimmage at the snap of the ball. And that's been very successful for them. And the other thing, Pete, that we talked about today is, you know, that Evan Williams, I tell you what, he just sneaks up on you, man. I really love the way he plays the run, and he's had some really nice performances in the defensive secondary, bouncing balls off his hands and making some really nice tackles. But in the run game, you know, it kind of started a couple weeks ago where it's not just a once in a while thing, and he really kind of has the knack for it. He usually has a C or I guess in some occasions they got him playing the D gap, but primarily, you know, he's going to be a force player. and he's coming down there and he's making tackles at the line of scrimmage, 1-2 yards behind the line. I mean, that's really good stuff. And he had a couple ones. I guess the big one was on third down there, where the Detroit Lions afterwards, you know, the very next play got, you know, they didn't get the first down, but that was a huge play. You know, I think it was 3rd and 3 at the time. And, you know, he comes out of that safety position like a rocket. And, you know, that's really good stuff when you're getting your safeties involved in the run fits. And when you see a lot of safeties, you know, and there's even one on this football team that's more known for interceptions than tackling running backs, it looks a little bit different, you know. So I really like the way he, you know, I think he's kind of the unsung hero a little bit on this football team and coming up and making plays in the run game that's really helping this football team.
You know, he's showing since training camp of his rookie year, he's showing he's a really instinctive player. He had several, I'm guessing he had 3 interceptions that first training camp. And he just, he showed that he was an instinctive player from the start. And I think we're really seeing that come to fruition. I know he's, you know, he's given up some passes and he's had a bunch of passes where he's almost made the play. I don't know, you know, maybe it's just me, but I think those almost plays are going to start turning into plays in the passing game. And for what he does in the run game, I would not be surprised if this guy ends up being, you know, a 1st or 2nd team all pro, you know, by the time he hits his prime. I just, you know, I'm not saying he's Ed Reed or anything like that, but man, I just think this is a guy who can really help you win football games, and he'll be a 2nd contract guy. I just think he's a really good player and a great value as a 4th-round pick.
Yeah, when you look at the secondary, at least at the safety position, you know, both Bullard and him have taken the step that they needed to take this year. You know, and I don't know how they keep either one of those guys off the field. I know last year it was kind of like you got Bullard, you got Williams, and they were kind of flip-flopping around a little bit. And, you know, even last year, Williams really played well closer to the line of scrimmage. And I think he can become a weapon for those guys. And, you know, even as a blitzer, you know, the way that he is just coming downhill. I mean, he beat a tight end on a block. He's undercutting blocks without and keeping his gap responsibility. So, you know, I don't want to get too excited, but I tell you what, there's a lot there to like. You know, we haven't had a really good safety like that in a while. That could play near, well, I guess Chuck Woodson would be the last one that could play around the line of scrimmage and help out in the pass game. It's usually one or the other. But to have a guy that can do a little bit of both is really special, you know. And, you know, McKinney is more of your deep end safety. But they got him screaming up on the run fits too as well. He's just doesn't look as good as when Williams does it. And, you know, so I, you know, obviously everybody has their own forte. But I really like those 2 young safeties.
So let's well, I guess that was a huge key to the win. You know, Gibbs came into this game. He was 3rd in the league and still is 3rd in the league in rushing yards. He was averaging 5.9 yards a carry, or he is averaging even with this game, and they held him to 3.4, I believe. So that's a 2.5 yard difference per carry. That is huge.
20 carries.
That's a big reason they won this game is, yeah, you know, that guy ripped off a 59-yard or 69-yard touchdown on the first play overtime last week and had a 49-yard touchdown in the 4th quarter right in that game also. I mean, he beat the Giants, and the Packers kept him from doing a lot of damage, 60-some yards and 20 carries.
Yeah, 20 carries, 68 yards for the young fella there. But the good thing about that, I mean, the Packers had hemmed up right from the beginning. He scored it out a couple times. And, you know, one time in particular where when, you know, 15, I think was his long. But I mean, that guy's a heck of a football player. He's got 5.9 yard average. You know, that guy is, you know, that's special. Those are special numbers when you, and they hold him to 3.4. I mean, and aggregately, I believe it was 120 or 117 yards total rushing from a team that averages 150 plus. So yeah, that's really good, because then what does this is exactly the way it's supposed to be done, is you put them into a situation where on 3rd down the whole building knows what you're going to do, and then, you know, number one shows up and ruins your day. So I really like you know, their philosophy right now. I do think defensively in the pass game, I would like to see them do a few more blitzes, just to try to mix it up, because I think there's some of those opportunities are wide open because they're devoting so many resources to dealing with Micah Parsons that there could be some more shots for that. But again, if you're getting to the quarter, it's a defensive nightmare, a defensive coordinator's dream. You're getting to the quarterback with four. I got seven in the back end. That, you know, that's like a luxury. You know, it's like winning the lottery.
With no Wyatt, I think they're going to have to start sending Cooper more. And, you know, Walker should be back pretty soon too. But I think Cooper's the better blitzer of the two. I think before it's all said and done, whether it's in December or January, they're going to have to use him more as a blitzer, because losing that inside rush from Wyatt is going to affect, you know, the whole thing. Every once in a while, Parsons will get a sack because he's really fast around the edge and he keeps going, but also because Wyatt's getting a little some push in the middle, and that's not going to be there now.
No, but you can also line up Micah Parsons two rows deep in the stands, and he'll get to the quarterback. And in fact, I like him better when he's roaming around playing at linebacker depth. I think that's harder to deal with. I would much rather have Micah Parsons going up against the center of a guard one-on-one. You know, that's a really good thing for them to be sitting in. So I think, you know, they'll probably have to do a little bit more of that. And I think, you know, Lucas Van Ness is coming back, so maybe hopefully he'll be able to provide a little bit of inside pressure. But I think early downs, you're going to see a combination of, you know, Brinson and Stackhouse, you know. So I think Stackhouse is the guy, in my opinion, where, you know what, on early or especially on super rundowns, you know, running formations, that he's going to have to pick up 20, 25 snaps a game, because he's really good against the run. But like you said, against the pass, he's, you know, below average.
Yeah, he'll be a non-factor if they throw the ball when he's on the field. Let's get into Parsons a little bit. I wanted to ask you this. I was at dinner with a couple of reporters after the game, and one of them asked me, you know, what I thought about is Micah Parsons as good as Reggie White? What if somebody asked you that? What would you say? Or is he better? Who's better of the two?
On the field as a player, or I don't know how to answer that, because here's Reggie White.
Yeah, I answered it both. I answered it both ways. I know what you're thinking, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because he was such a transformative player at that time to come into Green Bay and you know, all the stories and all that stuff. So that part of it, I think probably you got to kind of tip your hat to Reggie there, and the way that he became a cultural leader inside the locker room and all that stuff. But I don't remember. I could go back and watch some old footage, but I don't remember Reggie White being this inherently dominant. I mean, it is – when you're an offensive coordinator, what do you do? You just kind of throw the best at it, hold your butt, and hopefully you come out of it. And it's, you know, especially when he's off ball, that's now as an offensive coordinator and your center calling your line calls, and not to mention your quarterback, you know, everybody's a little tighter, you know. But, you know, so, but I think I think as a physical pass rusher, Micah Parsons gets the nod.
It's a really tough question. I mean, as far as overall organizational impact, you know, it goes to White, because White, there's like a special place in Packers history for Reggie White, because there was real question about whether this franchise could last if there were free agency, because players, you know, the thinking was players wouldn't want to come here. And he was in the first free agent class, and he's as big a free agent as there's ever been. And the Packers offered him the most money, and he came here. And he changed the perception of Green Bay around the league. Basically, if Green Bay is good enough for Reggie White, it's good enough for me, I think a lot of players thought. Yeah. And plus, the Packers are really good. They had Favre, which was a great draw too. But yeah. It proved the Packers could – not just exist, but, you know, thrive in a free agent era. So he,
I agree.
He's huge that way.
Yeah. 100%. 1,000%. You cannot understate the impact that Reggie White made on the Green Bay Packers organization. You know, that goes back to Ron Wolf too. I mean, he's the one that, you know, had Brett Favre pegged as a guy they wanted, you know, and he came up with the cash to get Reggie White here. So, and, you know, Ron Wolf's a part of it, but I mean, as the player, I mean, you remember when that whole stand would be hollering and screaming, Reggie.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
That was
special. I mean, it really transformed the direction of the franchise.
That's why it's, you know, you got to really tap deep into your brain to remember fully what that was like. Cause he had some games where he was incredible, where he was throwing guys out of the way and getting sacks. And he had the 2 sacks of Elway in that, I think it was a Monday night game that closed that game out. He had, of course, those 2 huge sacks in the Super Bowl that shut down a drive. He's so big. He played the run really well too. He was a 305-pound pass rushing defensive end. He wasn't an inside guy. He was an end. That's what made him unusual.
It was closer to 320.
Those guys now are
305.
240 to 265. You know.
Yeah, 305. Yeah, maybe when he came into the league, but towards the end there, he was a big man.
Probably 310 or 315 or who knows.
320, easy. You know, that guy was menacing. And you know, but when you look at so I know that Reggie White, he was really good as a run stopper. And
he was also 31 years old, so he was past his prime when he got here.
Yeah, so, but you got Micah Parsons that you can drop him off in coverage when you want to blitz guys. We'll talk about that play in a minute. And you feel good about it. And you know what? Everybody says that, you know, you hear this. Oh, I don't know where it came from. Oh, Micah Parsons is bad against the run. Go watch the game from yesterday. Go on. And you tell me with a straight face that he is not good against the run. Because if that's is that the opinion that you're going to take, then your opinion isn't worth the bubblegum wrapper I just threw on the ground. Because that is not
true.
That's right. I'll take the $280 fine because you are a liar if you think that he's bad against the run. He is not. He is a great pursuer. And all of a sudden, you know, you hear all this coming out of Dallas. Oh, well, all he does is pass rush. Go watch the game. Go watch and see how well he takes up the line of scrimmage and how well he holds the edge. As for being a pretty light player, I mean, that he's a solid football player top to bottom. I don't care what he says.
He's probably going to finish with, I don't know, 17, 18 sacks at least. I mean, he's got 12 and a half already, and they've got 5 games to go, right?
Yeah. I mean, let's imagine if he hits 20. I mean, does that mean he's automatic defensive player of the year?
Well, it depends what other guys are doing, but it certainly has got to put him in the top couple. I think the Packers record, we looked this up yesterday when I was with Tom Silverstein. I think it's 19 and a half by Tim Harris.
Of course, Tim Harris. Yes.
That's a big season, 19 and a half. So let's talk. I didn't even notice this during the game. I didn't even notice it. My first run through rewatching the game. But he made on the first Lions first pass, their third play of the game, the Packers blitzed. And so all I did was watch the blitz each time. They blitzed McKinney and the two linebackers. And of all things, they dropped Micah Parsons and Kingsley Enagbare. It was incredible. Just tell everybody what you saw on that.
Well, first of all, they were both lined up on the same side of the line of scrimmage, right next to each other.
Yeah, they were at the end. They were at the right end.
And so McKinney is the safety over at the left, off the left end there. You know, so he's got tight end coverage. Except they blitz the two linebackers, and Micah Parsons goes from the 50 technique or head up a tackle and sprints like a gazelle all the way across the formation to that tight end to cover him up. unbelievable that they
he went across. He had to go 7-8 yards deep, and he had to go across the field several yards beyond the hash on that side. So he went from a few yards outside the hash on the one side to several yards outside the hash on the other, plus 7 yards deep. He moved. It looked like a defensive back.
Like a gazelle. When he shot out of there, I was like, oh. I look back, I'm like, at first I thought it was Evan Williams, because he, I mean, then I rewound it, look at it again. I'm like, holy smokes. That was absolutely impressive. You know, so the guy is just, he's a gifted athlete. And I think the other part of it too is, I think he's really sharp.
He's got to be.
A super intelligent guy, at least he's got super football intelligence guy, you know, type guys. And the Packers haven't had, you know, you had Aaron Rodgers, who was, you know, super intelligent guy. He's mega mind on offensive play. And the other guy that comes to mind is Chuck Woodson.
Yeah, you know, Charles Woodson, yeah.
You know, that there were years the guy wouldn't practice at all, but he watched so much film and do so many mental reps during practice from watching tape. That he didn't have to do the physical work because it was all upstairs. And you see that Micah Parsons has some of that. You know, he knows how to attack guys. And I don't think that this is the top end of Micah Parsons. I think he might be close to the top of the rung, or he might be to the top rung of his life. Some people may say that. I don't think that this is like this is not the best it's ever going to be. I think it gets better.
He's 26, so he's hitting his physical peak. I mean, as far as just pure explosiveness, you know, if you look at the great sprinters, you know, the ones winning gold medals, they're usually 24, 25, 26, right in there. So physically, he's right at his peak right now. But it's funny, you know, he does his press conferences every week, and you know, he really enjoys, you know, being in the limelight, and he says a lot of stuff, and there's a good amount of hot air in there. But it's when he's every once in a while he'll go get off on a technical aspect of talking football, and he'll start rattling stuff off about tendencies and what guys do and moves and all that, and it just flows right out of his brain, and you can tell he really knows his stuff. Like he studies this stuff and he pays attention and he absorbs it and he knows what he's talking about. I don't know. I think you're right. I think he's probably in that caliber where he's got it, you know, both physically and mentally.
Yeah. There's, you know, he's the type three of football players, I think any athlete, but you got, we'll just keep it to football. You got football players that play football because they're just naturally gifted. They can run, jump, catch the ball, they're just naturally gifted for whatever it is. And then there's the guys that are maybe not as naturally gifted, but they get by on just desire and preparedness and just motivation and all that stuff. And then there's the rare type where you got the physical gifted and the drive and the motivation and the mental preparedness that, you know, makes them the great. So you get a try hard guy, super athlete. And then there's the number three player, which is very rare to find, where you got a try hard super athlete. And that's in the class that Micah Parsons is in.
All right. Enough of babbling on about how great Micah Parsons is. Let's switch over to
what do you mean? We like sacking the quarterback. Those guys get paid a bunch of money and they sit there with their smiles and their fancy cars. Those guys deserve to get sacked.
Those are the guys who win games. There is no getting around that. But let's go to the other side of the ball.
Defense wins championships.
Yep.
So polish your teeth up.
Well, so do great quarterbacks. So do great quarterbacks. So speaking of quarterbacks, is Jordan Love starting to go on a heater here? Because even though his numbers weren't great 2 weeks ago, I thought he played a really good game against the Vikings, and he was very sharp. He had a couple missed throws, but overall, he was very sharp and really clutch against Detroit. What do you think there? Is he getting on a heater, you think? Or?
Well, you know, shoot. He's consistently inconsistent. You know, that's probably the book on Jordan Love. That's chapter one. He's been consistently inconsistent. Sometimes he looks really great. Other times he looks really stupid. But I think what they're doing with him right now is really good. And not only is it the play calling and the plays they're running, some of that suits him. But golly, some of those throws he made yesterday, you know, just to name a few. The one that I love that most people think is just a routine play, but it wasn't, was the third down throw down the sideline, not to the sideline, up the 30-yard line that Wicks caught on a dart. Only guy that could catch that ball was Wicks. Comes down beautiful. The touchdown to Romeo Doubs. That thing was on a bullet. And when you're watching the sideline view that you see on TV, it doesn't give you – you can't really get it until you get the end zone shot. When you can see the end zone shot and you can see how that ball was right absolutely on the money. If it's a little bit behind him, it's either picked or it's for surely going to be knocked down. And how many quarterbacks missed that throw?
Let me cut you off just for a second, because I got to tell you, you know, in these press boxes, you know, you're usually sitting kind of towards the corner of one end of the field or the other. And that play was at the goal line right about where I was sitting. So I had a great view of that Doubs throw. And those throws are really hard because it's a long throw, because you're throwing it all the way to the pylon from, you know, basically the far hash. And the angle is so tight. Like, you don't, like, as you were saying, you don't have a lot of wiggle room. You know, you throw it just a little bit too far to the inside and he can't get to it because it's too far away, or to the outside, I guess you would call it. And it's too far upfield and he can't get to it and he's not going to get in the end zone. You throw it too far inside and the back is going to knock it away. And when you're sitting right there on the goal line, you can see how sharp that angle is. And he put that thing right on the line, right on Doubs's body, and it was a touchdown. So anyway, sorry to cut you off, but it's just something I think people would appreciate more if they could sit where I was sitting for that play, and you would see how sharp that angle is and how small the margin for error is on that throw.
Oh yeah, and that's why a lot of teams don't throw it, because hey, you got to have a rock solid arm to get out there, right? You know, because otherwise, think of it, if it's not on a bullet, the only guy that's going to stop that D-back after he catches it is the quarterback.
Yeah, that's a 100-yard touchdown.
Yeah, so, you know, those don't happen very often because your quarterback coaches are telling them, hey, at the very worst thing you can do is throw it short or a little bit inside. That thing's got to be out of bounds or only where Doubs can catch it. I mean, that's how you – because if you throw it behind it, it's six the other way. So there's, you know, and very, that's also how you determine – or how scouts determine if that's an NFL quarterback, is if they can throw that out. And everyone can throw it, but how well you can throw it is really, really what sets you apart. The other play, there were two others, I guess.
And he did that on a fourth, just to remind everybody, that was a fourth down. That was fourth right. And one. So it's all or nothing. It's either, you know, you're getting six after a seven after a long drive, or you're getting nothing.
Zero. Yep, the worst. So I guess the other play that I really liked was the out and up of the 51-yard touchdown on Christian Watson have. I mean, how many times Jordan's first year of starting, and even a little bit in year two, would we be like, seriously? That's how you're going to throw the ball deep? Like, you can't hit the broadside of the barn from standing inside it. But, I mean, that throw, that ball, throwing it downfield has become his strength. And that ball, I can't believe how good it was thrown. I mean, Watson never broke stride. He catches right in the hands. He just, you know, it was a gimme for him. But, wow, what a throw. And I guess the last one that I really liked was the rollout pass where he hits Musgrave at the deep, at 23 yards. I mean, on that rollout, I thought it was a really great design play, having the tight end being your deep option and your fast, speedy wide receiver being your underneath option, because he drew all of the attention from the linebackers, secondaries, and you had a middle guy there. But, I mean, it was either going to go deep or it was going to go to nine because everybody's eyes were on nine. So that ended up being a really nice throw there too. But, you know, there wasn't much margin of error on that one either. So, yeah, it was, you know, and he's staying in the pocket better than what he did earlier this season and certainly last year. I like that. But he's also kind of developed like a fadeaway. If you watch that a little bit, I mean, he's got a little fadeaway where he kind of He kind of floats back, but still fires it off his back foot and gets it there. So there's a little finesse there with his game, and I really like what he's done. Now it's just going to be whether or not he can be consistent. He's got to stack these games up one on top of another, on top of another. We need to see him be in a situation where he has to be the guy that's going to go out and win the football game with his arm, and not, you know, whether it's a come from behind victory or there's stuff in the run game, you know, who knows? Maybe we see it this week. The Bears, if they stuff them up, you know, I don't know who the opponent's going to be, but it's got to be a situation where they can't run the football because the team's defense is so good, but he goes out there and still wings the ball all over. I don't care if there's two high safeties or what kind of excuses you got there. He's still going to have to go out. I want to see that. I want to see a 75, 80 yard rushing game as a team and have him throw three picks or three touchdowns or maybe four that goes down there and makes it happen. And I haven't seen it yet this year, but you know, you got pretty close, I guess, Thanksgiving, but let's, you know, he's got to be more consistent for you to start thinking that this guy is elite.
Yeah, somewhere along the road, if you're going to be a top, I don't know, six quarterback, something like that, somewhere along the road, and if you're going to win a title, you're going to have to carry the team when things aren't going well. You know, when the run game's not there, you get your quarterback's got to be able to get some points up for you. So that they'll reach that point at some time this season, and who knows, maybe it'll be next week against the Chicago Bears. What do you think of the Bears?
Jeez, oh man. You know, I knew that coach coming in there was going to take a few weeks. I even thought maybe it would be a little bit closer to the end of the season before they started picking it up. But, you know, they got a really nice little offense there. That's really difficult to it's going to be difficult to stop them. That's for sure. But I think the recipe is going to be, I mean, here's the reality. Hey, they're going to get some home cooking, which is good, but the reality is if they heat up that quarterback, and good things are going to happen, you know, for the Packers. There's going to be picks. He's going to, you know, bad things happen to Caleb Williams when he's under pressure, and you know the Packers are going to put him under pressure. But you know, I would say turn the heat up a little bit. Let's fire some backers, bring some safeties, be creative, and just kind of see how it works.
The one thing is, he's got a little magic escaping pressure sometimes too. He'll spin out of there. Guys come flying at him and he ducks and spins. And I've seen a lot of guys miss him too. So he's not the easiest. He'll get sacked a lot because he holds the ball, but he's been better this year. And he's not the easiest guy to get to sometimes, you know. I don't know. I think he's pretty slick. So I think this has the makings of a really interesting game. You know, the Packers do have their – one of the strengths of their defense now is they do at least have – they got three guys in their front seven who can run with any of these running quarterbacks with Parsons, Walker, and Cooper. I think that's a big advantage when they play these guys that they haven't had in the past when they play these guys who can run.
Yeah, you got a point there. But I think it's in Green Bay. It could be 10 or more points that the Packers win by.
Got a score?
Oh, I was way off on this one.
What'd you say? I can't remember. What'd you say on this one?
I was like 17, 14, something like that. Like
you picked the Packers, though. You did pick the Packers to win.
But I'm going to say the Packers are going to win against the Bears. And I'm going to say 34-27, 34-24, somewhere in that range. I think it's going to come down. I think the defense is going to score. I think it's going to come down to Caleb Williams just getting shell shacked by that Packers pass rush.
I still wonder the long term repercussions of Devontae Wyatt. I just wonder if that's going to be the thing that bites him most, and you know, maybe stops him from doing what they otherwise might. I was thinking, like, who are their most valuable players on the roster? Not necessarily their best, but the ones who they could least afford to lose. I would have had Wyatt in the top five for sure.
Yeah, I think so. But you know what? It could end up being a silver lining, because now, you know, maybe Halfley's going to line up, you know, Parsons at the linebacker level, or and kind of make some things happen that way and then just explode, you know. So, yeah, absolutely. You don't have that bulldozer in the middle that's collapsing the pocket, but I don't know. I think they still got Micah Parsons. They still have some guys in there that can play. Who knows? Maybe they put Ingobari in there. You know, I think if he comes in the ballgame, you're going to run right at him. I don't care what down and distance it is. But, you know, I think there's a little bit there for the guys to pick up. That's for sure. Those shoes aren't just going to get filled off of the bench. It's going to be a multitude of players that are going to have to fill those shoes.
Well, we got a little weekend respite here with the Packers mini bye, so let's wrap this up and everybody can get onto their weekends. Just want to say thanks to everybody for listening in, and glad you think we're worth the time for downloading, and remind you that we'll be back again in a week and a couple days after the Packers play the Bears at Lambeau Field a week from Sunday. But until then, I just want to say thanks and remind you, you've been listening to the After Further Review podcast. For Eric, I'm Pete. Take care, everybody.
Be good, everyone.
A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese, oceans and sunsets. Some things in life are an obvious match. Like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors looking for a custodian who can help them go further. With all the wealth services, technology, and support an RIA firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabious. Find your match and learn why custody is just the beginning at schwabious.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.